Beat Breakfast with McDonald's. The only way to start the day. Breakfast served until 11 a.m.
Okay, it is Monday morning and we are waking up to the news that Spain are the current World Cup champions. Last night,
Viva España!
Finale, Spain versus Argentina. Can't wait to go to Spain in a few weeks. Saw some of the footage from the streets of Barcelona, Ibiza last night. They're probably not up, to be honest. Do you know what? They probably never went to bed. They're still partying. Anyway, it was a brilliant night for Spain and hard work for them. But what we need to talk about, and the reviews are already in, are in relation to the halftime show. And obviously, there was a lot of controversy before this even happened last night. So if you didn't see the first part of last night, I don't know, is there always a national anthem that's sung by a celebrity? Is that a thing even? You know, the way Jennifer Hudson came out and sang.
I saw people giving out on X about that normally the host country doesn't sing its national anthem.
So I didn't even know if that was like the norm. And then you had a bizarre performance from Robbie Williams in a pink or blue glitter Adidas tracksuit. Really liked the tracksuit actually.
Okay.
And Nicole Scherzinger and another lady. And then obviously the halftime was the big kind of like spectacle that everyone was talking about. So it started with Madonna, which was all pre-recorded, wasn't it? I didn't think that was like the big thing.
She came onto the pitch was like, but everything else was pre-recorded.
Like, who was in the car?
That was Ronaldo and Ronaldinho.
Yeah.
Yeah, classic, legendary players.
No, I knew they were legendary, yeah. Anyway, then she came out.
It was ridiculous though. And again, I saw on X somebody saying it looked like, you know, when the kids come out in the vehicles on the toy show.
Yeah.
You know, on the tractors and
stuff. And you're all cheering
them on. That's what they look like.
Yeah, so you had Madonna, you also had BTS, who were really good.
I thought they were good.
Bieber, a lot of people saying he killed the mood with the Hallelujah song because it was like World Cup. But
he should have done Sorry or something, just do a banger.
Yeah, I thought he was brilliant. I thought he was great. He sang live, guitar, whatever. The funniest part was Roy Keane's reaction. So obviously he was commentating and they asked him when they cut back to the pundits what they made of it. And Keane said it was a bit of an anti-climax, but I think the people in the stadium probably enjoyed it more than us. And then he said, but it's always nice to see Shakira.
When she turns up. Some of the other celebrity reaction, Wayne Rooney, he was asked what was his favourite part of the show and he said when it finished.
Ended. Oh, God.
Also, Liam Gallagher said, this is like a bad trip. It's a good job I've got my spiritual socks on, or that halftime entertainment could have tipped me over the edge. And Sam Thompson shared his frustration on Instagram, writing, halftime show, the last thing a football game of this magnitude needed. No one's in the right headspace. Imagine the players watching Sesame Street while cramping up and needing to warm up again.
Why were the Muppets there?
I don't know, that's what I was
the
asking.
Muppets bit was odd. Now, what the other funny thing that like Roy Keane just is the gift that keeps on giving, right? So he also said about, this is like one of these moments where my mind has actually just like whatever was in there
gone.
Does that happen to anybody else? You know where you're about to say something and then it is...
Okay, let's retrace.
It's completely gone, lads.
It's not helpful in your job.
It's Roy Keane and it... Oh, I got it! It's not helpful in my job. He said when Tom Cruise came out, he's not going to sing it.
He did talk for a lot though, Tom Cruise.
What did he say?
It was
that.
A theatrical performance. He was basically talking about the World Cup and like all countries coming together and it was like a lot of... It was delivered as a kind of a speech, but he was wearing his heels, and for some reason he had his sunglasses in his hand. Do you know? Like he was standing. It was very, and he was on a platform, a little podium kind of thing.
He needed it because he's very small.
I'm so glad that I actually remembered what I was going to say, because neither of you could have helped me there.
No.
To be honest with you.
A couple of the comments in here. We had a message from PJ who says the halftime show was pure crap, and I'm being polite. What a waste of time!
Yeah.
And similarly, a lot of people having a go with Bieber, including Shane, who says, I just thought he killed the vibe with the slow song and killed the mood and vibe for the show altogether.
Michael just gave us one word on the halftime show and that was rubbish.
Okay.
So nobody liked it. I actually liked it, but I can understand from a football point of view how it's not...
The place.
It's not. And in fairness, as whoever said, who was it that said, it's not fair on the players. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll just wrap that up.
We'll see if they do it again in Spain and Morocco and Portugal in 2030.
By the way, sorry, just in terms of my conspiracy theory from a few weeks ago, it was Shakira last night.
Okay.
It was definitely Shakira.
That's a confirmed. Get it up.
Beat Breakfast.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to Monday morning across the southeast. It is Beat Breakfast. It is the 20th of July, and when things happen in my life and in my world, I like to share them with Niall and Amy.
We had an emergency update in the Beat Breakfast production WhatsApp group on late Saturday morning, lunchtime-ish.
Yeah, so I went on a hen party. Shout out to the gorgeous Sharon on Saturday, and we had the best time ever. I went to Gory, brilliant night. All the gang from the gym, Tracy, Grace. I can't name them all. There was many girls. But anyway, on Saturday morning, I had to go downtown to get a few bits.
Okay.
Right? And where do you get your few bits?
Pennies.
Pennies. So myself and Eve walked down the town, glorious Saturday morning, great form, full of the joys, like, you know, going on a hen party, living my best life, walk into Penny's, and there's about, I don't know how many of the girls were there, but say they were kind of gathered in a circle. Would there have been 15 of the girls that were working in Penny's? And then there was a woman kind of in the middle. And
this was on the floor?
Like, there was a couple of people kind of looking, right? Mm. And so they were doing a presentation, and I noticed that the girl who was talking was kind of in the middle, and she was holding flowers, I think. Now, she had like a headset on, so I was like, okay, she works here too, and she's part of the thing. So I just stopped for a minute and I started listening, and she was doing a little, well, like, I wasn't eavesdropping, like, they were in the middle of the floor, and she was like, you know, I just want to thank you all for everything, and you've a big part of my life. I can't really remember the speech, but she was giving a speech basically because she was leaving, and she said, I can't believe I'm leaving after 25 years, and the tears started to come for her, and she said, and onwards and upwards. I'm getting emotional now. And in the middle of Penny's on Saturday morning, I started crying.
Okay, because Sharon, or whatever her name was.
I don't know what her name was.
Was moving to a new job.
She was leaving after 25 years, and all the girls were gathered around and clapping for her, and she was crying. So I cried because I was very emotional for her. All right. I just felt like, I didn't know her. I just felt for her story or whatever, and it just got to me, right? So I got really like, really properly choked up, tears, and Eve was like, please, Mom, this is really embarrassing.
This is odd.
So then one of the girls who I kind of know from around, she came up and she said, show you crying. I just started crying even more. I said, what's happening? She says, she's leaving. She's got a new job. And I was just gone. So she hugged me.
So the staff there had to console you because you were so upset over Sharon, we'll call her, leaving to go to a new job.
Yeah, I was crying in pennies. And then I went around to the shoe section to kind of compose myself, and Eve and I were standing there, we were messing, trying on shoes, and I heard the girls by the dressing room going, did you hear your one from Beat? Crying, God love her. And I said, that was me. I got emotional on behalf of the girl who was leaving, and I don't think it's that strange. I knew Amy would be the very same as me.
I would be in floods of tears.
Yeah, really? Thank you.
Yeah, no, I don't know about the eavesdropping. Yeah, I could just see you stopping.
No, I wasn't eavesdropping.
Just go about your business.
No, there's other people listening as well. It was in the middle of the floor. It's not as if I was like, being part of something that was nothing to do. Like, okay, it was nothing to do with me, but like, as in they were doing it on the shop floor. So like,
so it's fair game.
It was fair game, and I didn't expect to be overcome with emotion, but I was just really overwhelmed for her, and then I took it on board, and I didn't see that on my bingo card for Saturday.
A good cry before the hen.
Yeah. I really properly got, and the worst part was that Eve was really embarrassed by me. And
Eve didn't cry.
Oh, she was looking at me going, what's wrong with you?
I don't think there can be people out there like you, I have to say.
Amy's like me.
I am, to be fair, yeah.
Yeah, why are you two so emotional?
Well, one of the girls in Penny said, do you know what to show? She said, it's lovely, you've got empathy. That's what it was. I was just...
Lads, I have a terrible one. Can I tell you this?
Is it worse than mine?
It's bad.
Go on. You cried everything, though.
I do. So I was home, I don't know, years ago, and a neighbour of ours had died, and I didn't know the man.
Okay.
But my mum, you know when your family's like, oh, you have to come on, you know, show face. So I went along, but they just kept talking about how wonderful this man was. Didn't know him at all.
Yeah.
By the time we went up to shake hands and console,
you were bawling.
I was bawling.
Yeah.
His daughter wasn't even crying. She had to console me.
Yeah. No, I get that. Yeah. No, that's very understandable.
This is so
that's not
weird.
Right.
That's very understandable. It's not, I don't know why you're laughing. That's very relatable, that is. That's a very relatable story. Empathy. Love that.
Okay, let's look for empathy then this morning. I clearly don't have any.
It's crying on behalf of something that actually has nothing
to do
with you. Yeah. But you still are, you're able to feel it for somebody else. And that woman in Penny's was emotional, therefore I was emotional, okay? Mm. Yeah.
Okay, is there anybody who's another example of this where you got emotional kind of on behalf of somebody else and cried in a maybe unusual situation? I'm going to reward a story.
Yeah,
this
I think
morning.
You should.
Okay, so we're going to do a prize on this. This weekend, massive gig in Waterford. It's the Heatwave Festival at the RSC. And on Saturday, we've got DJ Stephen Cooper. We've got the Waterford legend that is Dave Lofts. And we've got the headliner, Moncrief.
Woo-hoo!
Happening this Saturday at the RSC Stadium. And I'm going to do a pair of tickets for this for the best story of empathy yeah. this morning on Beat Breakfast.
What have you cried at recently that wasn't directly involving you, but, you know, you got emotional on somebody else's behalf?
Okay, empathy we're talking. We all have empathy when it comes to ourselves and our loved ones, but do you have it for other random people that you just see on your daily life? Show does. And we've got a little bit of background.
Yeah, we've kind of identified the lady who I cried at with, whatever way you want to look at it, in Penny's on Saturday
instead
morning.
Instead of.
This is Niamh's message. Take it away, Niamh.
Hi, Joe. Hi, Niall. Just in relation to Joe's story about being in Penny's on Saturday morning, and one of the colleagues in there giving a speech about even after 25 years or whatever. So that was actually one of my good friends, Sarah Carty. I am currently working in Penny's in Waterford, but I had worked with Sarah for nearly 10 years in Penny's in Wexford, and she is one of the most amazing human beings I have ever met. Probably wouldn't be where I am without her. She is definitely a leader and one of the best people I've ever worked with, and she will be sorely, sorely missed.
Okay. I knew.
You could tell.
No, like, it makes sense now. I knew she was just lovely. Yeah. What a lovely person.
Niamh, will you tell Sarah that her life change, her new job, has had a profound impact on Sean Lyons? Day 3, and we're still shedding tears over it.
Thank you, Niamh.
Okay, Fiona, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Good, darling. We're good. How was your weekend?
Great. Great. It was emotional and it was fun all in the one.
Okay.
It was a roller coaster.
Okay. So we would like to send you to Moncrief this Saturday night, Heatwaves Festival.
Woo!
Also being supported. No, hang on a second. You got to work for it. Also being supported by Dave Lofts and DJ Stephen Cooper. So go for it. What was your empathy moment over the weekend, love?
Okay, so we decided to go to Clonay yesterday evening. My sister's home from England, and we decided we'd head off. So we were coming back over the V anyway after being at the beach. And my sister was telling me the story when she had a group of her son's teenagers in the car. And she said, I thought it'd be lovely because we'd lost our mum in March. And so it's quite been a kind of emotional roller coaster. And she said, I decided I'd pick a rhododendron up the V to try and replant it because my mom loved flowers. Her son in the background says, "Mom, are you serious? Another one of your failed plans." And she was telling me the story, and the two of us bawled the whole way over the V.
Because were you crying because the son was smart with her, or what was it?
Yeah, being a little whatever.
And it just set you off.
And because the flower meant so much to her and mum, and we just had my father's anniversary night mass on the Saturday night, so it was like, oh. And she was telling me the story, I was like, I can't, I'm going to kill your little son.
You alright, Joe?
Fiona, what are you doing to me now? What are you doing to me at all here? What are you doing?
I know, that's what I said, it's been a roller coaster of a weekend, but look. Yeah, they're both looking down on us now.
Mm. Oh, sweetheart. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Lovely to have your sister home for a little while as well.
Enjoy
in this
that
weather.
Precious time. You have absolutely earned your Moncrief ticket.
Beat Breakfast.
Okay, hopefully Tom's not up because I will mention his name at some point in this conversation.
Okay.
There's a girl called Catherine Tilsley, right?
Yeah.
Now, that won't mean anything to you.
Might ring a little bell, but you won't really know where.
She is most well known for playing a character called Eva in Coronation Street. Eva Price. Google her. You'll know her when I'm talking about her. I think she did Dancing on Ice or did she do Strictly or something? She do Strictly? I think she might have done
like, she looks more like a Dancing on Ice kind of girl.
Yeah.
That is such a rotten thing to
not
say.
Not big enough restricted.
That's, oh no, sorry. I thought you meant like she's just really pretty.
No,
just,
he meant like she's not good enough for Strictly.
Oh, no.
They don't do minor soap.
What am I then? What do you look at and think of me?
Celebrity jigs and reels on RTE.
I have an Irish Dancing medal and I'd say yes to that one if they asked me. That's not a programme, but I would say yes. Catherine Tilsey had a real pinch me moment, right? She was at the Luke Combs Irish gig and there was a little bit of a mix-up which led her to actually meeting Luke Combs on Saturday. So her husband Tom, right, is a massive fan of the singer. And in February, she bought tickets for him for his birthday to go and see Luke Combs.
This in the UK,
this
was
in the
it?
UK. So they went to a venue called the Bridgewater Hall in Manchester, which had a venue with a capacity of around 2,000 people.
Very different to slaying with 80,000 plus.
She paid 30 quid for the ticket,
cheap.
Right? Yeah, and she was like, I thought, you know what? I've got a Luke Combs ticket. Maybe she wasn't really sure of who Luke Combs was. I don't know. But she spent...
That happens sometimes when your partner's into something and you don't really understand
you
it.
Just
but
go
you just
ahead
go
and buy the ticket. So she bought the ticket. They got a babysitter. They booked a hotel. They had a meal beforehand. So they went to the gig. Really exciting. This bloke comes out onto the stage. No introduction. And opens up with a song. And the guy that came out on stage was doing a Luke Combs song. She said, this is a bit weird. Like, why is he coming out as a support act doing it? Like, and then he spoke and he had an Irish accent. They were very confused. She had bought a ticket to a tribute act, which was not actually Luke Combs at all. It was just a guy that was pretending to be Luke Combs. And so, very embarrassing. Somehow they managed to reach out to the Luke Combs and they met him at the gig in Slane. All is well in the world.
All ends up very well.
But the question is, has this happened to you in the past?
How does it happen? I mean, surely there's a lot of signs there. The capacity of the venue, the price of the ticket, the fact that there's a poster somewhere that has to say it's not, you know, it's a cover act or, you know.
Well, the the funny thing about this is, now, he will kill me for saying this, right? But a few years ago, Tom has a friend called Wayne, and Wayne was going to this a gig in Wexford, and he invited Tom, and Tom really likes Wayne, so he's like, you know, I'd love to. Tom's not really into, like, he wouldn't be into certain music. Anyway, he said to him, we're going to see Jerry Cinnamon.
Okay, this was around the time Jerry Cinnamon was huge with Cantor.
Cantor, belter.
Yeah.
Must be a Cantor. And isn't that it?
Yeah. Okay. It sounds rude, doesn't it? Even when he said it.
You do it.
I'm not doing it.
No, because that's the song. Yeah. Anyway, he went to see it. He told him he was going to see Jerry Cinnamon. And Tom told me he was going to see Jerry Cinnamon. I
said, in Wexford?
In the Crown.
Unbelievable, because Jerry Cinnamon was doing the Picnic. He was in huge gigs. He did the Crown.
Darlene, I don't think you're going to see Jerry Cinnamon. He said, no, I'm going to see Jerry Cinnamon. And turns out, Tom was just going to a little tribute act. No disrespect.
Yeah, but he didn't buy the actual tickets himself. Did Wayne buy them?
Wayne bought them. Yeah. I know, it was funny. Like, he was like, I'm going to see this guy. I'm not mad about him. But he wasn't even going to see the guy that he wasn't even mad about. He's going to see someone singing his song.
He's only going to kill you when he hears how much you laughed on
it's
air.
It's funny because he didn't even want to see the original. Never mind the tribute.
Has this happened to anybody else where you ended up at a tribute or cover act rather than the main act? Let us know.
Will you just say the word? Go on, just do it.
Cantor.
There you go.
Yeah, that hasn't happened to anybody else, you can tell, Tom. Not a sinner. Not once. Nobody has ever done that.
I'm not making a fool out of him. Somebody else has done it.
Oh no, lads, remember, was it Diana Ross that it said she was performing somewhere in Dublin? We said, should we go to that? And then it wasn't her at all.
Oh.
It stumped us.
I do remember that.
Yeah, that was us.
But I told you it's the Olympia and Diana Ross will not be playing the Olympia.
I said it was an intimate gig.
Time for me to
buy. The tickets were a steal at 35
euros. Wake up with your mate.
Start your day laughing.
Niall and Show on Beat Breakfast.
So I was out for lunch the other day with my friend, right? And I'm a bit scared about this one because I just think maybe people are going to go, oh, show. So I was out for lunch with my friend and I ordered, I don't want to give away I don't want to give away where I was. Anyway,
what do you have though? I'm interested.
I just had eggs.
Okay.
But there was somebody beside me with a family, right? And there was a kid. And I'd say the kid was maybe, I don't know, 3 or 4. And did you ever have food envy?
Of a child?
Just answer the question. Okay. Did you ever have food envy in general?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, of course.
There you go. That's all I need to know. Yeah. All right. Food envy for me is a very real thing. I suffer from a lot, hence why I don't really veer off my staples. If I go to a place, I usually get the same thing. So anyway, I had food envy of this child because the child was sat at the table really, really happily eating a baby bowl.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bear with me.
Yeah.
And when I say baby bowl, it was just a bowl with some, like, stunning. It looked like it was, you could even see like the heat rising, but obviously it wasn't too hot because the baby was eating it or the child was eating it. But like beautiful, just like, just imagine beautiful creamy mash. And then gravy made to, oh my God, I'm salivating. Gravy made to actual perfection. Like, you know, when you just see gravy and you think,
Not too thick, find me the chef, please.
Yeah. Let me shake his hand. It just looked so stunning. And he just eating it with the little spoon. And I just looked at my eggs, looked at the baby bowl, looked back to my eggs, stared at the child and thought, like, if I had a choice here, lads, I'm ordering the baby bowl, all right? $4.99, a bowl of little heaven, okay?
Yeah.
And it begs the question, right? And I don't care if I'm, like, you've already come at me, I've made a few mistakes this morning. But is there not an argument for sometimes you just want a hearty bowl of mash with gravy, all right? Because some places even put veg in, you know? And I just, it struck me when I was...
It's the kind of thing, though, you make at home in private, you know, so you're not embarrassed, you know? Rather than
embarrassed for eating some potatoes. Like, can we normalise the, like not getting embarrassed over ridiculous things? Why is, okay, maybe baby bowl doesn't sound great. Like,
if this was a Daily Dilemma, I'd be emailing in going, she wants to order the baby bowl.
You've got the ick.
Major ick.
Yeah. Oh, come on, lads. There's a lot to be said for a... hang on a second. I don't think you heard creamy bowl of mash. Beautiful gravy. My eyes went from eggs to bowl to eggs to bowl. Wanted bowl. Didn't want what I had in front of me.
Well, would you be brave enough to ask for it?
I think they'd probably say no. Or do I have to pretend that I have, like, I have Eve, but she's 11. So, like, both of us ordering our baby bowl. Is there nobody out there listening that just understands that, like, sometimes in life you just want something real? And that, I know what you're saying, like, yeah, you want that in the comfort of your own home, but, like, why shouldn't you be able to order a baby bowl when you go to a restaurant?
Yeah, well, I think what you probably have to do is you'd have to go have the full carvery and just not eat the meat if you don't want it. That's how you get your spuds and gravy.
And then just mash it all up.
Yeah.
No, because you're missing the point. I just want the baby bowl with the gravy. I don't want the... if I wanted the full carvery, I'd order the full carvery. Yeah. I want the baby bowl.
Okay.
All right? And I don't think that it's strange to say, can we normalise possibly looking at an option of putting a baby bowl on? Well, let's change the name.
Mm. Yeah, I was thinking they'd have to change it. Maybe the Shona Bowl.
No, no, I don't want my name on it.
All right.
I just want the bowl.
The mash goodness or something.
I want the baby bowl, but for adults. And I want it to be something that I can go in and order freely and not feel like I am suffering from envy from watching a child. Now I can see not one person has messaged in.
Is there any support, I wonder, for your cause this morning?
It will be quite a flat moment of radio if not one person is on my side. Can we try? Even if it's a couple of people, can we try? Just express an interest. Express an interest.
Because we've got chefs who listen, who do menus, and if there was enough interest, they might consider the adult baby bowl.
But do you not understand what I'm saying? Do you never just think, oh, just a bowl of creamy mash, gravy made to perfection? Do you not think there's an argument for sometimes when you don't know what you want and you're feeling a little bit like, oh, yeah, I like a baby bowl.
Okay, let's put it out there and let's see what kind of groundswell of support. No, I don't disagree, because one of my favourite foods is probably mashed potato with gravy and a bit of butter through it, right?
Yeah.
But I don't know if I went out to eat would I want a baby bowl? Yeah. I'd probably just get the carvery. As an adult, as a grown, but is that mature, what you're, no, professional man, but I would order the carvery.
That's conditioning. That you have been conditioned to think like that. So you have been conditioned to think, oh, meat, give me all the meat and load it on my plate. Whereas, like, let's get back to basics here. All right? Let's normalise the baby bowl for adults. Okay, here to normalise adults being allowed or able to, or feel comfortable, that's it, feel comfortable enough to order a baby bowl in an establishment. Creamy mash and beautiful gravy.
A lot of people trying to, like, really, I don't know,
reinvent the wheel
and add to your dream, like with Guinness stews and runny eggs, and you just want the simplicity, the buttery,
yeah, like
gravy,
like someone
and
wants
the mash
to add an onion in. No, 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 Marianne, no, no, back away with the onion.
Let's start with John. How are you, John?
I'm absolutely fantastic. How are you, lads?
We're good, darling. We're good. Thank you for
believing
in my, I suppose, plans for the future and ways to make the country better, I suppose, John.
As soon as I heard it, I had to send it in because there's something about them baby balls. It's different.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm eating them about 11 years now, because actually, I just want to say happy birthday to my daughter, Emmy. She's 11 tomorrow.
Happy birthday, Emmy.
Happy birthday, lovely Emmy.
So tell us what happens when you go into a restaurant with the kids.
Our mother won't like me saying it, but Emmy's been reared on the old baby balls. There's nothing like them.
There's nothing wrong with them. You're getting your carbs. You're getting a bit of, I don't know what you're getting, the gravy, but yeah, you're getting your carbs anyway. Good, good, good bit of starch.
Oh, we'd often go, say, for whatever we might be doing, we might go in and we'd, like, we've three kids. So Emmy now has gone beyond the baby ball now, but the two boys, They love them, like. So they're gorgeous. Like, you get the mash. Now, sometimes you get the veg with them as well and the gravy. But, I do like the veg in there as well, the broccoli and the carrots and that. It's lovely now. I'd order one for myself, genuinely. Like, and it would be funny because whoever's taking the order, I'd say, can I get three baby balls? But I kind of get away with it, you see, because Emmy's there to think it's for her, but it's actually for me.
Come on, John, you legend. John, can you explain?
It's like a side. It's not the main course now. I will get some else as well, but nice. The baby one would have to be there as well.
It's just like, I suppose when I was thinking about it the other day, it was like it was a lunch thing, and I think it would have been sufficient for lunch. Can you just explain to Niall that we shouldn't be embarrassed? We need to try and normalise this,
shame.
John, all right? Break the stigma.
Niall. You don't know what you're missing.
Yeah, Niall. Yeah, I do
love mash.
Like, he's talking about making it in his own home, but, like, it's not the same,
not
John.
At all. No, that's not the same thing. You have to order it out, yeah.
Yeah, John.
And then you can rate them as well, depending on where you are and what type of gravy to use and all. Yeah.
John, I have been so inspired by you that this weekend I'm going to take myself somewhere. I'll probably have to go on my own because I doubt Tom will come with me, but I will do this and I will report back to you. And I love how you stand by your obsession with baby. It doesn't matter what age you are, John.
Yeah, well done, John. Listen, you're
amazing. Absolutely.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, lads.
John, have a great day.
Bye-bye. Right, a few of the other quick comments. Siobhan was on to us, says, show my daughter's 16 and all she eats in restaurants is potato gravy chips.
Louise say, morning show, no one will mind if you order a baby bowl. All we want as a server is to feed you and that you are happy leaving with the service. That's so sweet.
Alison says, I absolutely love a baby bowl. I used to love my kids were little and I was allowed to order a baby bowl. I agree there should be an adult baby
bowl. There you go, adult baby bowl. Somebody said big baby bowl. Geraldine said, yes, my 30-year-old daughter always asks but says, can I have mashed potato and gravy in a bowl? Too embarrassed to say a baby bowl. No. We're trying to break the stigma here, Geraldine. We're trying to break the stigma.
Warriors.
One text at a time.
Okay, a couple of quick voice notes. Emma was on.
Hey, show, I'm with you on this. I miss the days when my kids were small and I used to get the baby bowl because it used to be delicious. And Niall, it is not the same as your mashed potatoes and gravy at home. Whatever they do, it's so much better. Love, love, love it.
Thank you for that. And finally, Mark.
So, if you want a baby bowl, you get yourself a baby bowl and you shouldn't worry about what anybody else thinks or how it might look. The older I'm getting, the less I care about what other people think. But nobody should feel uncomfortable. You work away and get yourself a baby bowl.
Inspirational quotes. The power behind what you're all saying this morning is quite incredible. I'm off, lads. I'm going to get a baby bowl.
Top of the morning.
Wake up.
Wake up with your mates.
Niall and Show on Beat Breakfast.
Okay, I have a little scenario for you girls that I want you to just picture yourself in this scene, okay?
Yeah.
You're at a gig. It is your favourite artist. So,
Westlife.
Yeah, let's say Westlife for Show and Beyonce for Amy.
Yep.
You've managed to push right up to the front. She is in your eye line. You're
gold
hoping
circle.
They catch your eye and, you know, you can really see there's no block in your view.
Yep.
It's coming towards the last four or five songs and you're bursting to go to the loo, right? But you know that your favourite songs are still to come, right? Now, you're really close. You're really close to going. Are you going to leave your spot? Miss one of your favourite songs or more of your favourite songs? Are you going to hope for the best? What's going to happen here?
I would never let myself get into that situation in the first place. I wouldn't allow it to happen.
Like, well, what do you mean?
Because when Westlife played Croke Park years ago, they did an ABBA medley or something. And I said to Cathy, we're going to go now. Because
okay.
I wasn't going to be missing World of Our Own or When You're Looking Like That or yeah. Mandy or something. I wasn't going to forfeit.
But you never have a situation like at a gig or something like that or a night out where it kind of comes on you all of a sudden.
Niall, you didn't realise. Well, like, my situation would be a little bit different, but I let Amy go first.
There's no doubt about it. I'm weighing myself.
You're weighing yourself.
Yeah, you absolutely.
Yeah.
For Beyonce, I would.
Yeah. No, and I would do the same for Westlife. It's just I would like to use the fact that I didn't do certain exercises after I had Eve as an excuse.
Okay. Oh, no excuses.
No, I do actually have a valid excuse. There are exercises that you're supposed to do after. Yeah. I think they're called Kegel. Yeah, you're meant to do them. And I didn't do them. And I can't go on a bouncy castle for very long.
Okay. Well, I do have a solution for you girls that you may, so you don't find yourself in that situation, and it's called, they're calling it a piss diaper, that there are many super fans who are now wearing nappies to gigs. Piss diaper.
Piss, like as in you're
in the piss. And
I
it's a nappy. No, piss diaper. I'm not mispronouncing it. Let me give you a couple
examples
of why we're talking about this. Olivia Rodrigo last month revealed how acutely she had noticed some of the fans lining the barriers at her shows. She said people wear diapers so they can be front row. That's been an experience as a performer that I've smelled, she said.
No, I think that's actively saying that, like, I'm not going to the toilet for the whole thing.
I've got myself to the front. I'm not leaving my spot.
No.
We've had bad news this week regarding Noah Kahan. I'm not going into the details of it, but it was worse than a wee that somebody did at the front
and
of his concert.
It was hot where they were.
Yeah, also happened at a 5 Seconds of Summer concert last year, you might remember. And instead, 2024, someone urinated on the floor of the standing section of a Sabrina Carpenter concert, and that's when the pit diaper thing came about. Now, the pit diaper thing was also very popular during the Taylor Swift tour, because if you remember, 3.5 hours.
Yeah.
3.5 hours. So if people got to the front, they weren't going to leave.
As a last resort, right? As a last resort. Like, say it was, we went to Shania Twain a few weeks ago, and say it happened that her last song was Man, I Feel Like a Woman, her biggest hit, right? If I got to that point and I had no choice, then yeah, I'm doing it. But I would like to think I would put a plan in place. I would have all my ducks in a row so that I wouldn't get to that
point. I have seen at outdoor gigs men and women using a cup. I've seen it with my own eyes.
Really?
Yep. I'm not going to name names, but I've some of people in my...
Unfortunately, Amy, I've also seen that.
Spice Girls, Croke Park, 2019.
The pitch.
And is it a skirt situation that you
can't
see?
Yeah, it was a skirt, so it was... And there was a lot of people to kind of help the situation. Yeah.
That's okay, I think.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's not something that I'd like to repeat, to be honest with you. And it wasn't me.
You sound like it was you.
No,
there.
I wasn't.
It was.
Niall.
No, it wasn't show. I can confirm that I know of.
And I don't know how, because I have the worst bladder in the world and I didn't do those exercises. So by rights, everything is stacked against me. But no to those piss
diapers.
No.
Not for you.
Nah.
Okay.
Beat breakfast.
Do you know what? You could be great at LinkedIn. You could have a lot going on there. Do you know what you're doing? Procrastination.
segue of the year. Welcome to Wednesday morning. I said this to the lads yesterday, and I think it's time to open up the corner that we like to call on this show. Never called it before, but, you know, who knows? The procrastination corner, right? And the procrastination corner is for you to tell us what you've been putting off in your home, in your work, in your personal life.
Here's another. Here's an example that I know affects a lot of people. There's something in the boot of your car. And you've been meaning to
my
deliver
swimming togs
it,
from Tremor.
Take it out, do something with it, and it's been there for months.
My swimming togs from Tremor.
They're going to be mouldy.
I forgot about them until Niall said it. I haven't opened my boot for 2 weeks. I put my swimming togs wet into the... That is ew. That is very unlike me. Sorry, Noel, I need to go, actually.
Yeah. I'm not bringing that in here. Bang off.
Do you think it smell? It's probably not great. Like,
procrastination corner, item number one on the list. My swimming togs have been in the boot for 2 weeks now on Friday morning and I haven't taken them out. Procrastination number two, I have gone to tidy my wardrobe and really organise it for the last, I'd say, 4 to 5 weeks, and because of the fine weather I've just kind of folded stuff and like not properly, like, you know, gotten in there and gotten stuck in. It's not a wardrobe that I'm proud of.
I'm the same.
Do you know what I mean?
I want to get rid of stuff.
Yeah, I'm making do with what I have, but it's not in order, Amy. Yeah. It's not a wardrobe that I would be proud to open and for anybody. Would you be proud of your wardrobe?
Oh God, no. No. Stuff piled up.
Yeah, no, it's not one of my finest moments. I'm procrastination number three and it's not mine. But poor Tom had a bit of an injury and he injured his knee in the last couple of weeks. But about 6 weeks ago, he painted what I would say is 1/49th of the deck.
Little corner.
He just tried it and then he was seeing if the colour would work and it's still just 1/49th painted.
Okay. The summer's nearly over.
We've got an injury. All right. So oh, unfortunately, no. That is staying in the procrastination corner. What's in your procrastination corner?
A couple of things in my procrastination corner. My microwave broke.
Oh, yeah.
12 months. Ago, yeah. 18 months ago. Still just sitting there in the kitchen. Haven't done anything. I could get a new microwave. Microwaves are about 60 quid nowadays.
Probably cheaper to get a new one than it is to get a fix.
Oh, yeah. You
so
wouldn't
you
get a microwave
fix. You
need
to dispose of it. Then.
That's the thing. Yeah, I need to get it out. I don't have a car, you know. And then I'd need to get a new one home. And I'm just like, do you know what? I'll just use the top oven. It's fine. I'll just throw everything in the top oven.
I think you can bring them back in. I don't. Some places take them.
You oh, yeah, no. White goods. Yeah. So if you're buying from that place, you can take, they'll take
you
over.
Why don't you just bring it some morning and then after work, we'll bring it over there and then get a new one. That's really
I'd have to unpack the box. It's a lot of effort.
I can see him walking over to work with the microwave
under my arm. So that's the main thing. The other thing is, and it's slightly sad, but I still have some cat stuff left to deal with. And I don't know if that's just a mental block that I'm not ready, but like, no, I really do have to.
That probably has an emotional link, and I think that's very understandable.
Yeah, like, I still have cat food and cat milk on the counter. I keep bringing in to bring it into Aoife for her kitty.
I think that's maybe just you're not quite ready. We had food belong to Lola in the press for far longer than we should. I think that's just something that is hard to get your head around. So I'm not going to slate me for that one. You're not going to slate it for that. 100%. No, I'm only going to give you love for that one. I won't hug you because I don't think we're there.
Okay, over to you, Amy. Procrastination corner.
Well, mine is similar to show. I've clothes that I know that don't fit me. And I want to give to either my friends or give away to a charity or something. And I just can't mentally get there to go through them. Like, I need to go through them all again.
It takes a lot of headspace to be able to say to yourself, right, I'm going to do this now. Mm. And I always find with a job like that, I'll find something else that's lesser, if you know what I mean. That I'll convince myself I have to do this instead.
True. And I'll also decide to keep some things again. And then I'm back to square one. Oh, do you ever do that?
Oh, this, because I think things come around.
I'm like, I'll need that next year.
So I often think about like something that I gave away 10 or 15 years ago. I should have kept that. Like, do you know, for example, right? I know we're going off on a bit of a trip. Yep. But you know the disc belts that are back in?
Yes.
I wanted to wear one for Shania Twain. I had about 3 disc belts in the noughties. And I gave away all of them. Big mistake.
Who's you giving to?
Charity.
Oh, right, okay.
Probably gave
because you
away.
Were told they were gone.
They were gone. They were meant to be gone forever. They're back.
Back on track. We're talking procrastination corner. Not giving stuff away.
What are you procrastinating over?
Is there a job in the house, in the garden? Is there something in the boot of your car that has needed to be dealt with for weeks and you just ignored it?
Is there somebody that you've meant to pick up the phone and message and you haven't done so for a very long time?
I did that. I actually did that yesterday.
Oh, with somebody that you hadn't been in touch
with?
My friend, I just realised we hadn't talked in months and it made me really sad when I woke up this morning and I thought, why have I, and I think I've gone to message him a few times and just been like, oh, where do I even start? Because, you know, when you haven't spoken to somebody so long and then loads of things have happened and you're like, but I'm going to do that today. Today is the day where we overcome those things that we've been procrastinating. I will take the swimming togs out of the boot. What's yours?
0851029103. You can voice note us on this. We might do some big goodies for the best one this morning and let us know what is in your procrastination corner that you've been ignoring ignoring and avoiding. We want to hear from you. The company is very good here, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. We're members. We would like you to be members too. Let's get through some of them. In our house 5 years, says Shane. At our front door, we have two lights and I was meant to change the bulb in them 5 years ago and it's still not done.
Do you know what, there's meant to be a light at the back of our house at the garden.
Yeah.
And never worked. 20 years and never changed it.
And Niall.
It's grand.
Get a light bulb.
Very relatable from Emma in Wexford. Cleaning my fridge. Every time I open it, I think, I need to clean that. But it's a tomorrow job.
Yeah. It's a horrible job. I don't know why, but it's just icky. Adele said, I have a tower of shoeboxes of trainers that I bought over the last few months. And it's like the Tower of Pisa at this stage. And even when I'm cleaning, I'm promising myself that I'll put them into the recycling to say it's still leaning is an understatement.
Okay, Maeve, good morning.
Maeve, how are you?
Hello, good, thanks.
Yeah, you finished college for good.
I did.
Congratulations.
Yay.
Thank you.
Welcome to the real world.
Yeah.
I know, I have to be an adult now.
Yeah. What are you doing, darling?
I was studying construction management and engineering.
Okay,
and what are you up to now for the summer? Are you taking it handy?
Just taking the summer off, yeah, just chilling.
Nice.
I'll be an adult in September.
Yeah. You're going to put that off until you actually have to. So you finished in June.
So you're taking the summer off, which suggests to me that you've a lot of time to do, you know, tasks that need to be done, Maeve.
You think so, yeah.
So what have you been up to? What have you been doing?
Not a lot, but not what I should be doing.
Okay, my talk to us about the study room. Tell us.
Yeah, so my older sister's moved out, so I used that room for the 4 years just to study and keep all my bits and bobs in there. And they said, right, as soon as you're done your exams, you need to clean out this room, because in fairness, it's an absolute kip.
Okay.
And I don't want to. It's such a mess. I don't know where to start. So I have painted our garden, our fences, our house. I've started cutting the grass, which I have not done in my life.
You found other things rather than trying to clean out that room, basically.
Everything but stepping foot in that room I've done. The house looks great, but the room doesn't.
Maybe I'd be happy with you and my
parents can't really give out to you because you're doing loads of great jobs.
Yeah.
Exactly, that's what they're saying. They're like, oh, thanks, the house looks great, but what about the room? I'm like, another day.
Can I ask you, can you just describe that room to us? So let's all close our eyes as Maeve, walks us through what the room looks like. Go for it.
Oh, God, I can't believe I'll say this on the radio.
Close your eyes.
We go in the room.
Yeah.
And the desk is on the left, and then there is a wardrobe and a bed. The bed is covered with notes from my dissertation.
Okay.
The desk has piles of folders full of notes from the last 4 years.
Close your eyes.
The floor has all the important bits in a corner, and then there's just random clothes there as well. Ooh. I don't know whose they are or how they got there, but
can you see any of the floor?
You can, yeah. It's not that bad. It's the surroundings. There's a pathway to the desk.
You've really painted a picture. I kept my eyes closed for that entire thing. Niall didn't. I don't know if he has as much of a sense of it as I do, Maeve.
I get the gist.
I think you had to close your eyes to get into that room, Maeve, all right? Look, we're not telling you to clean it. We're just saying you're a part of the Procrastination Corner Club this morning.
Look, you enjoy your summer. You deserve it.
You've worked hard. We'll get you some beat merch out. And thank you so much for chatting to us. Well done on finishing college, darling.
Thanks very much,
guys. Bye.
Let's squeeze just one last one in. Jamie was on to us about the wardrobe.
Hi, B. Always procrastinate cleaning out my wardrobe for some reason. Whenever I go to do it, just something else magically appears that has to be done. So I'm like, I'll get to my wardrobe later. I'd say 3 years down the line, I still haven't done my wardrobe.
Jamie, don't worry about your wardrobe. The acoustics in your location are phenomenal.
Right now.
What I would like, Jamie, from you is some kind of an a cappella. Anything at all. The acoustics are... That's a venue.
Top of the morning.
Wake up with your mates.
Niall and Show on Beat Breakfast.
You might have heard Aoife mention this on the news a while ago, but this has kind of just blown my mind a little bit because I would have thought the number was higher. Higher, lower, in the middle. 30% of people absolutely hate camping, according to new research. 70%, though, say they love it. New research reveals putting a tent up in the rain and having to use the great outdoors as a toilet are two of the top reasons people dislike camping. But still, 70% say they love it. Waking up with the rain inside the tent is also a big turnoff. People over 60 are least likely to enjoy sleeping in nature. Well, I'm under 60 and I can tell you now, I wouldn't be a fan of sleeping in nature. I wouldn't be a fan. I love nature. I love grounding myself. I love grass. I love sand. I love the outdoors, but I love my bed and I don't want my bed outdoors. My bed and outdoors, not a match. Do not feel a connection with that.
That's mad.
How many times did you say you slept in a tent as an adult?
I had a friend in
two campouts.
Primary school who was called Ashling, and we had a sleepover in her house and we slept in a tent for 3 hours. And
doesn't count.
That was the only time I think I camped as a child.
Oh, as a child.
Yeah.
And as an adult?
As an adult, I slept with Niall.
okay.
Rephrase that, maybe.
In a tent?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe rephrase that. Yeah, we definitely didn't do anything because she had these ridiculous curlers in her hair. She looked like, I don't know, an old one from EastEnders or something.
I did not sleep with Niall. I slept in a tent with Niall. And we had a divide. Was there not two separate? Were we in the same bedroom?
There was a divide, but we kind of had it open. I think you didn't want to be on your own.
That would be me.
Yeah. And Killian was in the outer, in the hallway.
We put Killian in the hole.
Yeah.
I think the two times that I slept with you, or not slept in the tent with you, were the only times that I properly, that was the whole idea of camp out, that yeah. I had never.
So you've never done a festival in a tent?
No.
You're missing out.
I'm not missing out.
No, see,
Amy,
I just.
What
like,
am I? Tell me. I'm
the first time I camped at EP, there was a rave going on to the all hours. I had the best sleep of my life.
Mm. I have a friend
for three nights.
Yeah, you're so tired because you've been on your feet all day, and yeah, that you do.
What
conk.
Am I missing?
You wake up.
It's like you're in the middle of a party, but yeah. You're sleeping,
and potentially someone peeing on the side
no
of my
tent.
No
one peed on me.
that you know of. It's the fear of like potentially what could go wrong. Now maybe if I was going to like a campsite where it was a family thing,
campsite,
which was what we did, obviously, and it was perfect, but. Like the idea of doing it at a festival and trying to sleep with the fear of the unknown out there.
Well, you know, the big issue, of course, the big issue, the elephant in the room,
toilet.
So to speak, is the toilet situation. Show likes to go a lot, and so the toilet being
I like to go a lot. My bladder means that I don't choose. I don't go, oh, do you know what? I'd love to go to the toilet right
so
now.
It's
nobody says
waking
that.
Up at 4 or 6 and then realizing I've got to go. And what are you going to do? You're going to have to walk a bit. And the other thing that's a little bit humiliating at festivals is you have to carry your toilet roll so everyone knows where you're going.
That wouldn't bother me in the slightest. What would bother me is what's facing me when I get into the campsite. And they made me do a little check last year.
Mm.
And I just, it's like the 30%, I just find that really hard to believe. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Given that I would be very much in the, I'm delighted for you. That
who's trying to ring a conference call?
Oh my god!
Are you doing one of your things today? Oh, there you go.
Oh,
does she mean to ring you, or is she ringing the other Shona?
I think someone's rang me by mistake. This happens a lot because there's another Shona within our company. But she's ringing.
Are you meant to be on a conference call right now? Because that's what it says.
Yeah. No, I'm here talking about
peeing and carrying toilet
peeing on my tent. No, sorry, Sandra, you'll have to wait.
You in the morning.
Beat
breakfast.
No, it's not.
Warm. Send it into pops. Madness.
If you have to cook it, it's not a cereal. That's decision made. Talk to me about lookalikes and Barry Keoghan.
Okay, so I was alerted to this yesterday that there's a bit of an event happening in Dublin this weekend, Sunday, July 26th, Grand Canal Quay, 2 p.m. It's the Barry Keoghan lookalike contest. Now you've seen these happening all over the world.
Paul Mescal was last year,
and there's been some in the States. Wasn't there a Timothy Chalamet one where he turned up?
Oh yeah, that was brilliant. Yeah.
So this is the latest one, Barry. Actually, do you know what? With my kind of shaggier hair at the moment, maybe.
No.
You don't look anything like Barry Keoghan.
Thanks. Okay. Anyway, it's a €20 prize, so it's big money on offer for the person who looks...
The amount of people that turn up for these things, though, is quite incredible.
And I don't know what he's looking like at the moment, because he's been making that Beatles movie.
I think his hair is really long. Yeah, I've seen him.
So it got me kind of thinking that we all often like to think that we look like certain celebs. Do you know that kind of way?
Yeah.
And I'll start with you. I mean, Amy, actually, who... Do you think that you look a bit like, or have you been told that you look a bit like?
It's not Rachel Zegler. I don't know.
Rachel Zegler.
Zegler.
Maybe that's the wrong person I'm thinking of.
Is she a singer? Did she do musicals?
Maybe I don't know.
This girl?
She was the one who did the big show in London.
She went out on the balcony. Was it Evita?
And do I look like her?
No.
Maybe you squint from far away.
I mean, I'm not looking at her going, that screams Amy. But then I think, like, I think there are certain people. My dad is one of these people that always sees, like, when he meets somebody, he's like, it's very familiar to me. He likes to think that somebody looks like somebody else.
Well, that's probably his association kind of thing, to remember people and remember people's names.
Maybe.
What that guy looks like.
Yeah. Anybody else that you've gotten? Yeah, maybe around the lips. Maybe. Okay.
You know what? You've kind of proven the point that I'm getting to is that sometimes we're told or we think that we look like celebrities, but most of the world doesn't see it.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's, you know, that people kind of look and you go, really?
No, but then there's some people that definitely like always get the same, like you look the spit of. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Mm. Like there is certain people that are told all the time, oh my God, you're very similar to, and they've heard it from more than one person. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. This will mean nothing to you because it was probably 10 or 15 years ago, but there used to be a very famous English tennis player called Tim Henman.
I remember Tim Henman. You have the same shaped face.
And I had the kind of bowl haircut.
And the fringe.
Well.
Yeah.
So
I got that.
When he was big at Wimbledon, I got it all summer. More recently, I suppose a lot of people tell me I look like Josh Hartnett.
No, you haven't said that. You've been saying that for the last 10 years, 20. Amy. Google Josh Hartnett.
Josh Hartnett. A lot of people say it, Amy. You know, they say, ooh, dashing.
I've had two over the years. Okay. I've said this on the show before. He's an actor. He was a very kind of
big noughties actor. Pearl Harbor. Thanks,
not
Amy.
She's squinting.
Thanks, Amy.
I'm trying to cover his hair. Yeah.
Okay. Amy won't have heard my two.
Go on.
So one is from a band called Liberty X. Michelle Heaton.
Yeah.
People said that I used to look like her more so years ago, I think, when my hair was darker.
Mm.
And then I have been told, but I never ever see it, right? Do I look really like her?
I do know her.
Yeah.
You do look like her.
Yeah. Do I?
Yes.
And then the other person is, and don't laugh, but you know I've been told this one, but don't laugh, okay? The Queen of Christmas, Mariah Carey. Yeah. I think it's just my cheeks.
I do see the Mariah thing a little bit.
No, I don't. I don't see it at all.
Yeah, a little bit.
Nope. Michelle Heaton.
Yeah. Anyway, what we want to do is have a little bit of fun this morning.
Okay.
Right? If you've been told that you look like a celebrity.
Or if you believe you're the spit of a celebrity.
We want you to text us now. Just text.
Put your hand up.
Hand emoji in the air. Just text celebrity to 085 1029 103. And what we will do is we might ring you back. And we want to try and guess what celebrity you look like based on hopefully your WhatsApp picture. Or if not, you can describe it to us. And then
so don't tell us which celebrity it is in your message. Just send us an emoji. But we will try and guess.
And then what's going to happen is if we pick you, we are going to give you the tickets to go and see Moncrief, David Lofts and DJ Stephen Cooper this Saturday night. Tickets for two people to go see Moncrief playing in Waterford on Saturday night. So it's well worth your while getting involved this morning. If you look like a celebrity, that's all you need to tell us.
We've had so many messages. Some quite clear to us, like Anya was on to us. Anya, you have to be Dua Lipa.
Yeah, there's no two ways about it. It's really hard because this is so visual, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
There's a lot of people saying I look like Michelle Heaton.
Okay. You did get a Mariah though in there as well.
Did I?
Don't deny it.
Okay.
Let's just do a quick shout out, can we, to the girls. We look like Frank Gallagher from Shameless this morning after last night. Shout out to Catherine. She's heading back to Australia in the morning.
Oh, morning, girls. Oh, sorry. Tara said she always looked like, told she looked like Lady Gaga. I just know that's who you're going to say. I do love Gaga. I wish I had her voice. I can't play because I'm not around to get the tickets. You do look like Gaga, Tara. You do? Yeah, very like Lady Gaga.
Yeah,
very
like me dress and you'd be like perfect.
Yeah. Tony. In Tony. Wexford. Welcome to Beat Breakfast of a Wednesday morning, darling. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How are you today?
We're good. How's all in Wexford this morning?
It's nice and sunny.
Sunny, oh, good. Yeah.
Absolutely gorgeous.
It's only starting to beautiful come out here. Lovely, lovely. Okay, Tony, how many times have you been told, oh, that Dua Lipa girl said she has been told she looks like Dua Lipa.
I know it.
Yeah.
I know it.
Sorry, Tony, we're just talking about Dua Lipa there.
You do not. All right, okay.
You don't look like Dua Lipa, Tony. I'll rule that one out.
All right, okay.
We have to try and guess this, so don't tell us. How many times have you been told you look like this celebrity?
Well, to be honest with you, I actually wouldn't be able to count it.
Really?
I've been told on I've been told on numerous occasions. I can't see it,
okay,
but my wife and other people constantly say it to me, but I don't see it.
Okay, so let's play a little game. So, is this person an actor?
Yeah.
Okay, is he a funny man?
Yeah, he would be funny. Yeah.
Oh no, that didn't sound too convincing.
Sounds confident. Show had a theory from the start.
No, don't give it away yet.
No, I'm not saying who it is. I'm just saying Show had a theory. So just for the purposes of our listeners, you have dark hair, a little bit of a beard,
brown eyes,
brown eyes, bit of a tan. Right.
So you have to ask another question.
And you're kind of funny.
Are you
from America?
No, I'm not. Well, the person I'm told I look like is from America, I presume.
Oh, yeah, that's what we mean.
I'm from Wexford. We know Tony's from Wexford.
He's Wexford proud.
Okay, he's from America.
Okay, you're from America. And would you think you, not you, Tony, the actor, would you think you are, as the person, in your 50s, maybe? Would that be the right age?
Yeah.
And were you in like a series of films that you had your friend who's called Rob in those movies?
No.
Oh gosh.
Do you want to do the guess as to who you thought it was? Because somebody else has sent this in.
I thought Tony, and I like this guy and I've met him and I think he's very good looking.
Name dropper.
I thought you were Adam Sandler. I thought you were a lookalike of Adam Sandler.
Yeah, you're bang on.
Yeah.
Bang on.
He doesn't have a friend called Rob.
He does, Rob Schneider.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you do have a friend called Rob, Tony. Rob Schneider is his best friend.
Oh, yeah. I do know him well.
Tony, just for putting up with us this morning and for having the crack, and because you are
going to be mobbed,
absolute spit of Adam Sandler, you're going to see Moncrief in Waterford on Saturday night. Two tickets are yours, darling.
Yay! Just a funny little story about this. Am I allowed to mention where I went to get fast food one time? I think I am, actually.
They're the sponsors of our show, so once you're nice about
them. Yeah, you went to get fast food. Go on.
Yeah, I went to get food in McDonald's one time, and they must have a camera that faces you as you're ordering on the drive-thru.
Yeah.
And when I got to the window, they were all looking at me and they were there, you're the spit out of this guy. Oh my God, you can't believe it. And I got to the last window and this was in Wexford. And I got to the last window where I picked the food up and the young guy was kind of just staring at me and wouldn't say anything. Adam Sandler driving a Daihatsu.
Wake up with your mate.
Start your day laughing.
Niall and Show on Beat Breakfast.
So basically, Niall and myself were out in Tramore, the stunning Tramore prom on Friday of the week before last, actually it was, and we just had such a brilliant morning. It was just good vibes, sunshine, blue skies, a lot of crack, met so many lovely people, and at some point during the show Niall just came out with a tongue twister and he just did this. Go on.
Well, we were looking, one of your challenges was to find some shells on the beach, and it just took me back to childhood of trying to do that famous
tongue twister,
which is, she sells seashells on the seashore, but the shells she sells are seashells, I'm sure. Almost.
Oh,
99%. She sells seashells on the seashore, but the shells she...
Oh, no.
She sells seashells on the seashore, but the shells she sells are seashells, I'm sure.
Yeah. Because on the day, he nailed it. And I was like, oh my God, that's brilliant. Yeah. We used to have to do this in drama, and I wasn't very good at them. And actually, just as an FYI, Tremor, you don't have any shells.
I struggled to find the shells.
So what we're going to do this morning is we are going to do a little tongue twister challenge, but we need you, right?
Mm.
So we are going to put you to the test in a second when it comes to tongue twisters. How well do you know your tongue twisters? Or do you think you can pick one up quite quickly? And if you can, all you've got to to do is send an emoji, any
send
emoji.
A tongue.
Send a thumb to 085102. Oh, sorry, send a tongue. a tongue to 085102913. We want to send you to see Moncrief this Saturday night, Heatwaves Festival, featuring Dave Lofts in Waterford. Mm. Niall and I are going to do a little test first.
So, yeah, we're going to have a little play first, and then we're going to take one person on and give you a test with a couple of tongue twisters. And if you are successful and you impress us, you are off to a big gig this Saturday at the RSC Heatwave Festival with, as Show said, Moncrief, Dave Lofts, DJ Stephen Cooper. It's going to be a great day.
Myself and Amy are going.
Yeah. Now,
okay.
I've just seen the first one you put in, and that's very dangerous on live breakfast.
So I sent
radio.
Three options.
Okay.
Who's
okay.
So there's person. Two under that.
Okay. Oh no.
Yeah, I don't think we can. I really don't. It's for everybody listening. The first one she gave us was the pheasant plucker.
I'm not a pheasant. I'll just try it, but without doing it fast.
Do I need to hang over the dump button here?
I'm not a pheasant plucker. I'm a pheasant plucker's mate. I'm only plucking pheasants because the pheasant plucker's late. I did it. Okay. Yes. But not very fast.
No, at about 10 miles an hour.
Yeah, yeah. That's too dangerous for live radio. Okay.
Let me read the next one. If
you do the next one.
Okay. If two witches were watching two watches, which witch would watch which watch?
Good.
That
good.
Was okay.
Yeah,
was
good. And now maybe speed it up slightly.
That was quite fast. But I'll go again. If two witches were watching two watches, which witch would watch which watch?
Good. Okay. So mine good. Has a box of biscuits, a box of biscuits. Oh no, this is hard. Okay, a box of biscuits, a box of mixed a box of biscuits, a box of mixed biscuits, and a biscuit mixer. A box of biscuits, a box of mixed biscuits, and a biscuit.
Damn it.
A box of biscuits, a box of mixed biscuits, and a biscuit mixer. This is hard. Okay, hand it over to you this morning. Send a tongue emoji. Would you like to see the legend that is Moncrief hometown gig Saturday night in Waterford? Tongue emoji right now. This is very easy, honestly.
Don't tell me that this show is not highbrow. That's all I'll say.
Go on, give your woodchuck one.
Oh, I will. Right. Well, I've lost it, but I just remember the first bit. Oh, there it is. How much wood would a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood? He would chuck, he would, as much as he could, and chuck as much wood as a woodchuck would if a woodchuck could chuck wood.
That's brilliant.
Oh, that's very
I know
good.
That because my sisters used to do that one with me when I was small.
Oh. The Peter Piper one is hard. I remember doing this when I was younger. Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers. A peck of pickled peppers Peter Piper picked. If Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers, where's the peck of pickled peppers Peter Piper picked?
Well done.
Okay, let's talk to Mossy this morning. Mossy, we want to send you to Moncrief, but we're going to make you work for it. Where are you?
I'm currently on my way to Fos.
Okay, very good.
What county?
Waterford.
You're in Waterford, okay.
How's the summer going for you, mister?
Here we go. Are you having barbecues? Are you swimming?
It's okay to ask about summer, isn't it?
Lots of swimming anyway. A few
good.
Barbecues.
Yeah, good. Deadly.
And have you got holidays?
No, I can't take holidays when I'm in Fos.
Okay. Well, you're enjoying the sunshine while you're here, right? You want to go see Moncrief Saturday night?
I'd love to.
Deadly. Okay, we're going to put you to the test. I've just sent you a tongue twister. It's just gone straight into your WhatsApp.
Okay.
So is it possible for you to look at your WhatsApp while you're chatting to us?
Yeah. Pull it over here.
Okay, so Mossy, is there anybody in the car with you?
No, just myself.
Okay, let's make some noise for Mossy.
We are your support
Please
crew this
give
morning.
Give Mossy some support.
Now, we are looking for speed and we are looking for accuracy. That's what we're looking for, Mossy.
Articulation. Did you ever do drama or like...
Elocution.
Yeah.
I did panto when I was younger.
Oh, no, we got a pro! Oh, God, Mossy's not into us at all. He just wants the tickets, don't you, Mossy? You don't want to have any crack.
I'm trying to read the
thing
you sent me.
Yeah, okay, can you see it?
It's different to the one I know.
That's what the girls were saying. They knew different versions of this.
Okay. Hang on a second.
You don't necessarily have to know it. You just got to perform
it.
You are a panto. You have a panto background.
Mossy, what have you played in the past in panto? Like, who have you been? Who
were you ever the back end of a cow?
God. I did a Cinderella production. I was one of the stepsisters.
Oh, Mossy, you're good. You're funny, Mossy, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I know. You just don't want to give.
He's
like,
in a false mind.
You're in a work mind, but also you're here to get the tickets. So, do you think you can give a
100%.
Yeah, 100%, Mossy. No messing. Do you think you can give this a crack? Then, do you want to do a bit of Betty butter?
Betty bought a bit of butter, but the butter was so bitter. She thought she bought some better butter to make the bitter butter better.
Yeah. we're going to send you to see Moncrief, Dave Lofts and DJ Steve Cooper on Saturday night in Waterford. Who are you going to bring with you?
Oh, I don't know yet. Okay. I'll have to think about that.
You'd be popular.
Oh, that was interesting, wasn't it? Yeah. He's really like, you're not giving us the answer to that one. That's fair enough. The tickets.
I honestly don't know the answer to that one.
That's okay. You'll get some calls now. People will be interested. Listen, thank you so much for having a crack with us this morning and enjoy the gig on Saturday night, all right? Have a good weekend.
Have a good
bye.
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 Bye. It seems that like there's lots of different versions of each of them and, you know, that's fine. It's okay. It's no biggie.
Betty Butter bought some butter, but she said the butter's bitter. If I put it in my batter, it will make my batter bitter. So she bought some better butter and it made my batter bitter.
Nah, never heard that before.
That's the one I learned. All right.
I'd never heard that before in my
quality
life.
Quality radio.
No,
quality radio. You never heard Betty Butter?
Never.
Wow. Where were you?
It's collecting seashells by the seashore.
Top of the morning.
Wake up with your mates.
Niall and Show on Beat Breakfast.
Okay, we've had a busy few weeks here at Beat. As you know, we embarked on a little bit of a talent search. We called it Beat's Got Talent. And the goal was to find somebody who would be suitable and brilliant to support Joel Curry when he comes to Wexford on August 16th to play live at the Breakwater. And Joel was on this show last week with Show.
Yeah, and he gave his, I suppose, words of wisdom for the act who is going to be supporting him at the Breakwater Festival. And on a very sweaty Saturday afternoon a couple of weeks ago, we held those auditions. Incredible talent.
Yeah, right, like, across the board.
There was just a phenomenal response and we were just really blown away by everybody. But last Friday, we announced our winner on this very show and we are delighted and excited that he has joined us on Beat Breakfast this morning. You are opening for Joel Curry. It's Leon Murphy from Waterford.
Morning.
Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much.
How are you
coping with the fame?
The fame, yeah. Can you go to Tesco?
just about. I'm getting away with it.
What's the response been like since it was announced last week?
Oh, it's been unreal. I mean, like, literally everyone and their mother has just been texting me, talking to me. Just the support was outrageous, like the amount of people who are backing me. So yeah, it's unreal.
Did you feel good after your audition? Did you feel, do you know what, I gave it my best shot? And
I did, yeah. I knew what I wanted to do. I practiced a bit beforehand, went in, gave it a good go, and then I was happy, so
yeah.
That's all you can do, all you can do.
Take us back and just describe, I suppose, your musical journey and what exactly it is that you do for those who haven't seen the video on the Beat socials.
Okay, so I started playing trad music when I was probably, I don't know, 8, 9 or 10, whistle, flute, group of kyol, flat kyol, all that kind of thing, and then started listening to house music and dance music and DJs, and over time got into production and playing myself, and so naturally the two kind of came together. And so these days I make what I call electronic trad music. Yeah. So it's house, it's techno, it's drum and bass and jungle, but with flute and harmonies and melodies and all the trad stuff in there too. So a bit of fusion okay. music.
That's what kind of I suppose brought us into your world at the auditions, because we just felt like it was really different and an interesting sound.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen the kind of fusion with dance music before. Often you'll see kind of live sets with possibly bongos or saxes, and obviously Dahi has done it with the fiddle.
Yes.
But we had never seen it with the flute and the tin whistle before, which was just a little bit different.
Thank you.
Have you played many gigs, and what's the reaction been when you do?
With the flute and stuff, not really. Like, gigs I've played to date have been more just kind of, it's either just trad stuff or it's just DJing stuff. And it's really now I'm trying to push that fusion. I really want to, this is my thing now. I want to give this a proper go.
Okay.
And introduce us to Joel Curry, who is a worldwide DJ. How do you feel about coming out on the stage at the Breakwater in a number of weeks? It's the 16th of August. You are one of the opening acts. Niall and I are going to introduce you on the night. How are you feeling about it?
I don't know if it's really hit me yet. Yeah. You know, like it's Joel Curry. That's a big name, and there's still a few weeks to go. And I think when it gets closer, I'll really realise, and then the nerves will hit. Like, do you know what I mean?
I was gonna say, because you're a very cool guy, aren't you? Do you get nervous?
Oh, I do get nervous. Yeah. I do get nervous, but like I'll be fine. And then a week beforehand, I've got to start getting ready. Then it'll hit me. I'll be like, okay, here we go now. It's go time. You know.
Chatted to him last week. He was so supportive.
Yeah, he's such a nice guy.
He's so lovely. Leon,
he seems
like,
really
he's
sound.
I can't speak highly.
He said he's going to wear your dad's Wexford jersey.
He said he's going to wear a Wexford jersey. Really sweet and lovely. So we're really excited and looking forward to hopefully hearing more of you. And I think this is just a brilliant start. Obviously, you at the auditions, I think I said to you, I don't think you realise how good you are in your face. You were just like, really? Thank you so much. So we're delighted for you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, we really are.
Thanks so much.
Okay, we're going to do a number.
Okay.
Yeah. You happy?
We thought this was a game or something.
Yeah, no, as in a song. We're going to do a song.
Absolutely.
So, we're going to do a number.
Yeah, do a little number. Like,
number. One through ten, or
okay. Yeah. Right. Okay. What are you doing today?
So today I am going to play a track I produced a little while ago. I only finished it recently. It's called The Dunmore Lasses. So it's a traditional Irish tune.
Yeah.
We don't know who wrote it. It was written in 1800s,
no
we
way.
Think.
Okay.
But I have done a rendition with a few friends. There's a bit of harp, a bit of concertina, a bit of fiddle, and then a big drum and bass breakdown.
Amazing. Okay, so for those, obviously you can't see us, we're going to play the track that he's produced, but he's going to play the flute live over it in studio this morning, yeah?
Deadly. Just give your Instagram there. Get yourself a few followers.
Leon Murphy, 2 underscores on Instagram, and the pre-save link to this track will be in my bio when I walk out today.
That's it. That's how you do it.
Leon.
Okay, are you ready?
Absolutely.
Let's do this.
Let's go.
the winner of Beats Got Talent.
Yeah,
for
if you're just tuning in the middle of that and wondering why there's drum and bass at 25 past 8 on Beat on a Friday morning, that was the winner of Beats Got Talent, Yay. Mr. Leon Murphy.
And your brand new track, The Dunmore Lasses. Listen, so excited for you. Couple of weeks' time, taken to the stage in Wexford, Breakwater, Lantern Events, Joel Carey's support act. Incredible. Leon Murphy.
Yeah, well done. I have to ask, right, you can produce, obviously, tunes. Yeah. You can mix. You can play a range of instruments. Can you sing as well?
Not very well.
Okay.
Not
okay. Good. Well. I'm glad
you
there's something.
You can't have it all, Leon.
Don't ask me to sing on
a
radio.
Bit, no. You can sing, and he's just playing it down. Loads of messages coming in for you, darling. But I'll just give you this one. Chloe said one word: goosebumps. So
well done.
Thank you.
Delighted
okay.
for you.
So much.
You'll find him online on all the social platforms, and you can see him play live Sunday, August 16th, live at the Breakwater with Joel Carey in Wexford.
Leon, well done, everybody.
Beat Breakfast.
Okay. Here goes.
We're gonna talk about a personal issue this morning. Is that right?
It's been an issue in across the board in my relationships. Okay.
Okay.
And I've spoken about it in the show before, but never really like delved seriously into the fact that there seems to be a fundamental difference. And I'll talk about my present husband, love of my life, Tom, and my use of toilet paper.
Mm-hmm.
And he cannot get his head around the fact that I am capable of using so much toilet paper, right?
Yeah.
And when I was going to bed last night, I was thinking about cereal and I was thinking about toilet paper.
Okay.
And I thought,
what a life.
What is it that I use toilet paper for? Obviously, I use it for the
obvious.
Yeah. You know, I go to the toilet, I use it. But it also serves as a purpose for like blotting makeup, some tears that might fall if I need to wipe something. So to me, like toilet paper has multi-purpose, right?
Mm.
And therefore, I seem to be flying through rolls at a rate of knots.
Yeah.
And it's now come to light that we bought a 9-pack about a week ago.
Yeah.
Right? So we got a 9-pack.
Yeah.
And it turns out that he hasn't even gone through three.
Well, when you buy them, do you split them up? And you have three.
And I normally take more, to be honest. So I took 6.
Show's pile and Tom's pile, right?
And he came looking for toilet roll because the bathroom.
Please, miss, can I have some more?
Yeah, no, I'm not harboring them. I'm not stealing them. But he came looking for one and he was like, the bathroom's toilet needs a roll.
Mm.
And I was like, ooh, down to my last roll. And he's like, no.
Yeah.
It's not possible. Yeah. Like, how have I taken 3 and you've had 6?
Yeah.
And what are you doing with the toilet paper, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And really, I suppose the purpose of this show is to find out if I am ever on my own in my endeavours. And well, so for some reason, and I spoke this before, it nearly broke a relationship that I was in before. We went to Costa de Geis in Lanzarote and this fella said to me, if you keep going through toilet paper like that, you and me are going to fall out.
On holidays?
Yeah, we broke up after that.
Okay.
So this is not my first rodeo.
Bad history.
Yeah.
I have to say, I understand this. Well, I don't understand.
Who are
it,
you?
But
are you me or Tom?
Oh, I'm absolutely Tom. It's just my bestie Emma used to stay in my house a lot, right? And I could not comprehend because as a lad, I might buy a 4-pack and I might get a month, maybe longer out of a 4-pack.
No, yeah. You are lying.
No, because like lads don't.
A 4-pack?
Yeah, lads.
For a month, are you? That's not regular.
Well, it is regular enough. We do, like, you just, like, I get that, like, ye obviously have 2 sides to work with when it comes to toilet roll, and we've only really one.
And other stuff. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it used to astound me when all of a sudden, like, I'm not getting a month out of my 4-pack because my friend Emma's staying over. And, like, she's using fist rolls.
Who's getting a month out of a 4-pack? I think we need to look into that. Amy,
no, lads, come on, back me up here.
That is shocking.
Back
that is absolutely
up.
Shocking.
We don't use a lot of it.
A month?
A month? Yeah.
What?
1 a week.
You're going through 1 roll a week.
Yeah, probably.
And
yeah.
I'm hopping off 6. Okay, here's what's going to happen this morning, right? I need to know if this is just me, right? Are you in a relationship with somebody where you are the chief toilet paper person, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you are willing, now this is random, right? This is really random. If you're willing to share your story with us this morning about toilet paper, then you will be rewarded. Moncrief is playing Heatwaves Festival this Saturday night. We would like to send you and your mate there, okay?
Yeah, but for the best story that entertains Lyons this
but
one.
You've got to come on and talk about toilet paper gate. You've got to be willing to open up about your experience.
On either side of this, you can be a Tom or a show.
I prefer to be like a me. I take four roles in 1 month. We need some kind of professional to this. 0851029103. Get your stories into us. Be prepared for us to call you back. We always cover the hot topics, and this morning's hot topic is toilet paper and whether or not in your house it is a bone of contention. All right, is it a men versus women thing? Are we going to start with Danny this morning?
Okay, go for Danny.
Yeah, you looked a little bit
confused. I'm just going to use a lot of
correspondence. Okay, Danny, this is what you have for us.
I am 100% behind Tom here. Like, what are you doing? Six rolls in a week. Something wrong. My 3-year-old play with it, and they don't even go through that much.
A kidding wouldn't go through it.
Thanks, Danny. I can't really answer. I suppose as well, I just wanted to highlight it is 3-ply.
Okay. You know, okay.
Yeah. It's always comfort first.
Glad to see a lot of the guys are backing me this morning. A roll a week is absolutely sufficient for a guy. Val says, show someone to think you could be my twin, and now I'm sure. Yes, me too. Married 23 years this year, and my usage, rather overusage of loo roll, has been a constant, quote, discussion in our marriage.
No way.
But she says, as long as I remember, it drives the hubby insane. It could be like 10 balls of toilet roll in bed by morning, because I go to the loo a lot at night. Okay, wow.
Same, hon, same. Right, let's talk to Eddie. Eddie, darling, how are you this morning?
Well, how's things?
Good. Yeah, bad. I'm good.
Is this a bone of contention in your house, Eddie?
Oh, it's a conversation that's been had many times in our house now, I'll tell you that one.
You live with a lot of girls, is that right?
Yeah, there's three of them.
Oh. Eddie, are you Tom? Are you and Tom in the same boat?
Well, yeah, I don't know what she's using the hall for, to be honest. No, that's the gun on the throat. You see, they get their all the toilet roll and they lap around the hand. And you tell you, the gun on the throat, lad, you think they're coming out to wipe cow's ass or something.
I don't understand how you could just use one or two measly little sheets. Like, that's not enough for me, Eddie.
But, sir, what's coming out of you? The River Slane, you're hot, man. Like one or two sheets to love, like, eh?
River Slaney. How apt. Just on the six rolls, how many do you reckon you go through a week?
Oh, sure, you have to get a toilet pack every week shopping.
See?
12 pack.
Not the shape stuff either. It's the goddamn 4-ply stuff. Yeah. The deer stuff as well, because, you know, they're sensitive, apparently.
And sometimes I like a coconut, Eddie, and I won't apologise for it. I can tell you one thing. You and Niall should live together. You'd save a load of money.
We'd get a 4-pack in the last month.
Are you one roll a month?
Yes, I tell you, we'll be buying a house at the end of the year.
Are you one roll a month as well, Eddie?
No, one roll a week.
I'm not one roll a month, a week.
One roll a week.
I'm not that bad, no, right?
Are you really one
roll a
week?
Yeah, no, roll it up, maybe a week.
Yeah. And what you... No, lads, it's not enough. It's not a life. Wake up in the morning, I gotta get up and get it. Beat Breakfast with Niall and Show. No qualifications in the world. I haven't got a note in my head. I really have no rhythm, but I have what I believe... discovered somebody who's going to be huge, right?
Is this like that Hoppin' Bunny song you inflicted on us at Easter?
That's your man Lenny Pierce, and he's playing Dublin this weekend. DJ Lenny.
Okay.
That's like, he's a famous viral, like, DJ for kids' songs. Like, okay. I found him as well. Yeah, you're welcome. Here's another one, right? Another one. So what has happened here is a very famous Hollywood star, who you'll recognise from this, has a very famous to-be son.
You did it! Congratulations! World's best cup of coffee. Great job, everybody. It's great to meet you.
Best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear.
Why are you smiling like that?
I just like to smile. Smiling's my favorite.
Will Ferrell has a famous son.
Okay.
And he's so ridiculously proud of him that he has been talking about him on every podcast and every interview that he's been doing, right? Now, unfortunately, I didn't find him through Will Ferrell.
Okay.
I didn't find him direct from the source. I found him from a podcast in New Zealand called The Morning Shift Show. Mm. And it's presented by three guys called Jordan, Brooke and Mark, right?
Yeah.
And they have discovered Will Ferrell's son. His name is Magnus. Do you want to hear him first or do you want to know a bit about him?
I think I want to get straight to hearing them.
Yeah. Okay, this is the three guys on the Morning Shift show in New Zealand reacting to Magnus. Stand by, everybody. You will remember this moment forever. We've discovered, I've discovered some talent here. Go.
Okay.
Guys, this is Will Ferrell's son, and this is his original music. His name's Magnus Ferrell. Enjoy.
Yeah.
Hold up.
It's the perfect soundtrack to you and Tom's tickle parties at the weekend.
That was a low blow.
It's beautiful.
Back to my musical find. Magnus Ferrell is only 22. He studied acting in college. He started as a musician when he was 12. He's been writing music. His famous friends include Deacon Philippe, who is Ryan Philippe's son.
Well, okay, Nepo Baby Club.
We can't help who his dad hangs around with. He's also friends with Ella Ray Wahlberg, Mark Wahlberg's son. And he made a cameo in Anchorman when he was only a kid.
He did, yeah.
Oh, you've heard of Magnus. Well, why didn't you tell us?
Yeah, why did you keep this secret all these years?
What's the point of knowing who he is and then not coming forward with his talent?
I didn't know the lad could sing, sorry. Yeah.
Sing? That's like butter.
I've never heard you as excited about music. Well, since the Shania concert.
Yeah. So I liked these Morning Shift show guys and Magnus Farrell shared it yesterday.
Yeah.
Two people that I knew followed him yesterday. Now 9 people that I know follow him. He's just gone up 7 overnight in my friends list. And then on his story over the last 12 hours, he went, hey to all my new followers. And I was like, hey Magnus, I'm one of them.
Yeah. I was the OG.
I was here yesterday. Honestly, you're going to remember him, Magnus Farrell, okay? Yeah, I'm coming over, Farrell. Magnus. What did I say?
Farrell. What have you just done? What have you done now?
I just said, you know what? YOLO. I feel so personally responsible for Magnus Farrell's career, Will Farrell's son. We just played a bit of his track there. Sorry, by the way, I never said it's called Asleep Talking, if you want to check it out. But I slipped into his DMs.
Oh,
I
really? Slid, whatever it is.
Did I say slipped in? Yes. Slipped in, lads. Yeah. I said, Amy believes that he's going to reply to this. He's 404,000 followers. I said, Magnus, ! Just spoke about you on a breakfast radio show here in Ireland. We are obsessed. Would you chat to us? Grateful hands emoji.
I think he'll see you.
We'll
see, I don't know
see.
What time it is where he is.
Like, he's probably 8 hours behind. It's probably like 11 p.m. kind of.
Yeah,
midnight.
You'd think if it was 11 p.m. he might have a chance. We'll report back. If
we will update.
Top of the morning.
Wake up with your mates.
Nylon Show on Beat Breakfast.
Right, I want to have a bit of a serious conversation with you this morning. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Basically, this story broke late last week and I need you girls to explain this to me. I need you to talk to me about what's going on in your lives.
He's got a newspaper clipping.
Yeah, I haven't done this in a long time. The article says this. For Manny, leaving the house with a handbag would be unthinkable. That's you.
Without a handbag.
Without a handbag, yeah. But this once trusty staple could soon be consigned to history as young women are increasingly choosing a more unconventional storage solution when they go out. Their bras. Research shows that a third, 28% of Gen Z women aged 18 to 29 now head out bag-free, with many opting to stash their essentials in their underwear. 73% admitted that they've slipped their phone into their bra. Other items to be kept in there include bank cards, keys, and lip gloss. 51% have put lip gloss in there. And it found that more than a third of young women are ditching a handbag. It makes them feel freer and they believe handbags are old-fashioned.
Oh my God, well then I'll be old-fashioned forever. I can't. The idea of going out without my handbag, without my, like, having my makeup to top up, my perfume, my phone, a chewing gum. Like, I've loads. My comb. I couldn't put my comb on my bra. But actually on the dance floor the other night when I was in Gori, I did, I think because I have a new phone, I'm a little bit protective of it, and our handbags were down, and like I just was like, oh, I better hold my phone.
I better
check. I did pop it in my bra, actually.
See?
I did. But I love a handbag, and I really, the thought of putting everything in, like I've stuck the odd fiver or tenner in a bra, like if I've like, but not, I would never, it would not occur to me to leave the house. Like, look at the size of my sock.
Yeah, I mean, it's a,
that's
it's
my bag. I just realised what I said.
I mean, there are people, I would go away for 2 or 3 nights with a bag that size.
Yeah, that's my sack. No, I think this is absolute madness. I don't understand, like, fair play if you don't need anything. I'm just not one of those people. I like to have my bits, like, together. I like a crossbody bag when I'm going on a night out, even though the other day on the Hen, I just had a clutch and that annoyed me because I do like to be able to put it across me, you know, like holding a clutch.
That's
not,
a nightmare.
No, that was a nightmare. I mean, I learned my lesson there.
Amy, you get this no bag thing.
I think I'm the opposite of show on this.
Did you go out on Saturday night with no handbag?
No, I did because the girls had handbags.
Oh.
So I felt like I needed to complete the look. But I
rules, I, didn't
I
even
do
know.
Think handbags are like, and to me heels. a handbag is an accessory as well. Like I like a handbag to complete an outfit.
Yeah, it was the outfit.
Go on.
It was like all dressy and I was like, right, I have to bring the bag. But if it was casual, going out for a few drinks, whatever, no bag.
No bag.
I think this is funny though. If you not watched Love Island this year, all the girls walking around the villa, they're only in their bedroom and they're carrying their bags. Like they've got their Louis Vuitton. Like Charlene had a Louis Vuitton bag in her hand when
she was
leaving.
Like,
I don't know about that now. I don't walk That's around the house silly. With my handbag. Like I don't go from I don't go Friday night like at home having a drink with Tom. Hang on a second, I'm just going into the sitting room and carrying my clutch. Like no.
So have you stored stuff in your bra then?
I have stored all of those items that you listed. Now you won't be putting a bunch of keys. Like I take
one key.
Your house key.
And do you have a favourite side or do you even it up?
I'd go left.
We'll go
That's
left.
My go-to.
Do you know what? I put my phone in my left.
Yeah, I don't know why.
And if I was going money, I'd go left as well.
Yeah.
You see, well, I've heard before that like people working in retail or even bars just find it vile when a girl reaches in and takes out a note from her bra.
Well, Killian had an opinion on this.
Oh, did he?
What did he say?
Will we hear what
we will hear?
Oh, you got
we asked around the office on this. Okay, let's get some thoughts.
What's your thoughts on women holding stuff in their bras and not bringing out bags?
Oh, no, that's disgusting. Mm. No, I'm a sweaty person, so it just wouldn't work.
I've often gone out without a handbag or a purse and just my phone, but I am not someone who puts the phone in the bra. I'm more of a back arse pocket kind of girl.
Okay. It's disgusting. It's vile. I haven't worked in a shop for 8 years and people hand you money out of it. And I'm not even joking, you one handed me coins out of it. Oh. And they were so soggy. Oh, it was rotten. Fun. Can you imagine a fella going up to a shop and taking a fiver out of his bits? I'm going, there you go. Grand, yeah. It's vile, disgusting. But oh no, we're women. We can get away with it. Disgusting.
It's not the same. And also, can I tell you, there's far worse things that happen to fivers. I guarantee it.
What does that mean?
Because
What's
I
got on your head?
There's people that don't wash your hands after the toilet. That's far worse than a bit of sweaty boob stuff.
I think so. I think it's fine.
Like, I don't do it all the time and I wouldn't make a habit of like handing someone a hot fiver or tenner. Like, but I actually don't think that's, I don't think you compare that to what he's saying.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. It's I really don't. But like, to be honest with you, personally, for so many reasons, I will never ditch my handbag. I just think it's so much easier to go out on a night out and have a handbag with all your bits in them. Why are you stuffing things anyway?
Like, you know, free. You can
free
just
from
wander.
What?
Wander and you don't, oh, where's this? Where's
get
that?
Get a crossbody bag.
No, I don't need it.
Okay, let's get some quick thoughts on this. Ladies, what have you put in your bras? Your brass. And are you like Killian and think this is absolutely shocking? No way. It's not good.
I wouldn't go out of my way if I was in a shop and I happened to have put the money in. And I think I've done this on one hand, the amount of times that I've put a note in my bra. But I wouldn't go out of my way to then pull it out there and then. Like, I think I'd pull it out before I went into the shop, let it cool down a bit.
Yeah, the bra thing's not gone.
I think you've listened and you've been disgusted or not. Not willing to share what you put in your bra.
I don't think we need
Elaine
says
elaborate.
Absolutely beep and disgusting. Handbag all the way and Manny puke emojis.
Yeah, I can't ever imagine a life without a handbag. Do you know what I mean? Like, I love a handbag. Like, it's one of my things. Like,
can we challenge you to a night out with no bag?
No. Why? Please.
Because I don't want to.
She looks terrified. Why would I do that?
I think it'd be funny.
Sure, I'd have bits everywhere. I'd have a lipstick and a comb and my phone and no.
Of course, your biggest issue with her girls is a lot of time, unless you're in jeans, you don't have pockets, you know?
Yeah, the lack of pockets doesn't lend itself to, I'm not. No, you won't be challenged. That's that.
There is a line and that's it.
Wake up with your mate.
Start your day laughing.
Niall and Show on Beat Breakfast.
We're going to play the Friday game show.
Yes, we are. And giving it a crack this morning is Leisha. Leisha, welcome to the show. How are you?
How are you? I'm a bit shocked, to be honest with you. I didn't expect to get picked.
Oh, well, we're delighted it was you, darling. Where are you this morning?
I'm on my way to work. I'm just passing Adamstown.
Oh, well, should we know it well? Yeah. And what's work, Leisha?
I'm head coach of the FAI soccer camps.
Oh. So you're the second coach we've had.
We've had a rugby coach earlier, and now we've got an FAI coach.
This is deadly. We're real cool on this show, aren't we?
Sporty people.
Yeah. How's the camp gone?
Not a bother. I have crazy hair day today, so I have to stop and shop and get a whole lot of sweets for the kids.
And what, have you done something to your hair then?
No.
You're just in charge of like bringing the treats.
Yeah, exactly.
Brilliant. I love it. And any plans for the weekend?
Well, I'm refereeing the whole weekend.
Jeez, so Leisha, you never stop. You never stop, do you? Where are you reffing?
Ferry-Carrig.
Oh, very good. Fair play to you. Yeah. I've never been to a match out there.
So that's shocking. And you, a Wexford ambassador.
I know.
Yeah.
I'll have
oh,
to.
No.
I yeah. know. I'll have to sort that out, Leisha. I'll have to sort that out. Mm. Right.
Okay,
listen.
You know how this works. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
My brother-in-law only got picked there only a few days ago, and I was in shock.
No way.
Who is your brother-in-law?
Jamie, the one who's getting his dog neutered.
Oh, Jamie, we had a good bit of banter with Jamie. Yeah. Jamie hadn't heard it before, but you have. Okay, Leisha, this is the most ridiculous quiz on Irish radio, if not the world. It's called the Great Beat Breakfast today, the Heatwave Festival at the RSC this weekend with Moncrief Friday Game Show. Are you ready, darling girl?
I am, yeah.
Okay, you know how it works. All the questions and answers relate in some way, often loosely, to the words.
And this week is particularly loose.
We've really struggled this week, Leisha, so bear with us, okay?
Okay.
Question number one. If you are making a joke of something, Leisha, you might say, and there's multiple choice, of course. If you're making a joke of something, you might say, A, are you having a cup?
A cup.
I don't know why I'm doing the accent. Are you having a cup? B, are you having a cough? Or C, are you having a laugh? Now take your time, Leisha. Take your time. I think I just needed to act that one out a little bit.
I wonder what that one is now. I think I might go with C.
Do you want to say it there in the accent?
Are you having a laugh?
Yeah!
Now, well, I'll just explain, just in case there's any confusion. We got the RU from the RSC in the title.
Oh!
Yeah, I know.
I wouldn't have been told that.
No, nobody would, Leisha. Nobody would. I tell you one thing. What's great about this game show is it started, I don't know when, we've been doing this for months, maybe before Christmas. And at first, like every week, Niall was quite puzzled by me. But what I discovered this morning is he's really come into my crazy world.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, he got a lot quicker than I would have anyway.
Yeah, he's really embraced it. Okay, question number two. Stay with us. If you are a magician, you might use this well-known phrase, okay?
Mm-hmm.
A, now you see me, now you don't. B, now you be me, now you don't. Or C, now you me me, now you don't. Okay, take your time.
I'm pretty sure this one's the title of a movie, if I'm correct.
Yes! Yeah. Okay, what are you going with?
I'll go with A. Now you see me, now you don't.
Oh, you're brilliant. Flying.
And in
you're
case
flying.
You were wondering, the C we got from the RSC. Okay, just to be clear. Okay? Just so everyone knows where we're at.
I started to puzzle it together now.
Yay!
Jeez, it's not easy, but we're getting there, right? Question number three. What is the correct lyric from this well-known Amy Winehouse song? Is it A, why don't you come on over, Mallory? Good, Leisha, good. Good little laughter. B, why don't you come on over, salary?
Well, I'm glad our salary came over today.
Or C, Why don't you come on over, Valerie? Now, take your time, Leisha. Take your time. Leisha. Leisha, I'm so sorry. My friend's
You're all right. I'm used to it.
No, my friend's daughter has a Leisha, and it keeps coming out naturally.
It's unusual.
Yeah, it's a lovely name.
It's one of my favourite songs. I love singing karaoke, so I'm going to have to see.
All right, stop. Hang on now.
Hang on now, Leisha, you have put yourself out there.
You have to sing the answer.
You can't say that, Leisha, and not expect us to ask you to sing. So just give us just one line, honey. Just one line is all we're looking for on a Friday morning.
All right, all right. Why don't you come on over, Valerie?
Woo! Go on, Leisha. Leisha. Do you know what? That means I really like you because I'm familiar with you.
Can I just... I have to ask because I didn't do that question. Did the Valerie come from Festival?
Festival, Leisha. Okay. Did you get that? Festival.
No, I didn't get that one to my home.
Right. Leisha, you are making a mockery of people listening to this quiz because you're so good at it, all right? Mm. There's one more question before the audio round. Question number four. What is the quack? Quack. I'm going to put that down to falling into the wall there a while ago.
Yeah.
What is the correct way of saying this well-known phrase? And of course, as always, Leisha, there are multiple choice. A, if you can't stand the heat, get out of the toilet. B, if you can't stand the heat, get out of the utility room. Or C, if you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen. Silence.
Oh, God.
Oh, take your
time. I've actually never heard that phrase before.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I suppose think about where there might be
heat.
So would you have heat? Well, I suppose you could in the toilet, in theory, if the shower was on and the utility room, if the dryer was on.
I think I'll go with the kitchen.
Yes. Yeah, that's a well-known phrase. Can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen. Yeah. You use that now if there's any kind of...
Any of the kids today.
I may start using it now. I've never heard of it.
I love when you find something new like that. Leisha, you're such a star and we know that you can sing already. Mm. Now, our audio clue is loosely based on... We found it hard to get a link to any of the words this morning. So, Niall, do you want to explain what we're doing?
Okay, so you know the deal here. Just firstly, the rules in that we sing a bit of the song and then you have to sing the rest of it when we stop. As we said, we struggle a little bit. So today we've gone with the word wave from Heat Wave.
Yeah.
And we're going to a classic artist, a Eurovision winner, Katrina and the Waves, right?
Yeah, it's a song from her.
Song was originally in the 80s. It was re-released in the 90s and it's been on TV ads forever.
Yeah, you will know it. Once we start singing, you'll know it. But what we do...
I wasn't born that time.
Okay. No, you'll be all right. You'll know this, I promise.
But what we need to do is just do a little vocal warm-up and as a singer, you'll know what this is like, Leisha.
Yeah,
you do. Like, what do you do when you're warming up the vocal cords?
Before karaoke?
Yeah. I don't know, I used to have a drink.
Okay, well, if you were to do a little like yum 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 yum, what would you do?
Like, Jesus Christ, what I saw here, like, you know, your vowels you go through are do re mi fa sol la ti do. You know
that
one?
Beautiful.
That was very good. We've never had that, Leisha. We've never had that. No. Okay, all together.
Okay.
So we're going to sing, and when we stop, you continue, all right? And if you don't know, guess. That's sometimes funnier.
Yeah.
We're ready then?
We are ready.
3, 2, 1. Now every time I go for the mailbox, gonna hold myself down. Cause I just can't wait till you write me you're coming around. I'm walking on
sunshine.
Whoa! Yay!
I'm walking on sunshine. Come on, Leisha.
Whoa!
And it's starting
to feel good.
Yeah.
Amazing stuff.
You are an absolute star. And you know what? You sound like just a load of crack, so you do, Leisha. You sound like you're great fun to be around. Am I right or am I right?
I hope so.
Yeah, I think you are, darling. You've won yourself the 50 euro one for all.
Leisha, I just have to ask before we let you go, which family member will be coming forward next Friday?
Beat Breakfast with McDonald's. The only way to start the day. Breakfast served until 11 a.m.